Turn over to Psalm 127 here tonight. Psalm 127. Just have some pretty simple exhortation here for you out of a couple of real familiar verses. Psalm 127. And beginning with verse 1. Psalm 127, 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we come to you here tonight, and we have a lot of things going on. We're aware that we need your blessing on the things that are going on that we are endeavoring to accomplish and all those things. We pray that we might illuminate that here tonight for just a while. Father, we really need your blessing. We really need you to look after some things. We know that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And no matter how well the blueprints are laid out and no matter how well the plans are made, Father, we got to have your blessing on things. So we pray that you might drive that home here for us tonight. Help us keep that in mind. It's something, Lord, that we can also take comfort in. It's not just a rebuke. It's something to take comfort in. We pray you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, there are laws and rules that basically nobody really argues about. I'm not talking about seatbelt laws or speed limit laws or anything like that. I'm talking about natural laws. You know, you quickly learn with some natural laws that they're basically non-disputable. It won't do you any good whatsoever to argue with them. You hardly ever see anyone actually argue about them or endeavor really to change them. There are some laws that folks are able to kind of dally around the borders of, and we're able to take advantage of a little bit. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Gravity is one such thing. Yeah, we can send rockets, you know, out into outer space and that sort of thing and defy gravity. Everybody here has been on an airplane at one point or another, and maybe many times. And so we're able to harness that and keep gravity at bay till we run out of gas. And then gravity takes back over again, right? But gravity is an unquestioned and an unchallenged law. You'd be a fool to question it. You'd be a fool to challenge it. Nobody even really disputes about it or argues anymore. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, "Oh man, I thought that gravity would maybe be off by today." And nobody even considers that. We take, we have to just take care of things. We, put seat cushions on our chairs so gravity doesn't hurt our bottoms. And we watch where we step. You know, a step is not supposed to be more than, 7.5 or 8 inches tall, lest you fall down and hurt yourself. We put, child protection gates at the top of stairwells when they start toddling around and so on. We just basically work our way around gravity. Nobody ever disputes it. Nobody really argues with it. Another thing is changing seasons. You just understand here in Minnesota, it's very pleasant right now. It's spring. But you and I both know that winter's coming again eventually. And it'd be pretty stupid if, I'm heating with wood just to say, you know what, I ain't going to cut any wood anymore. Because you know what, I'm tired of it. And it's just not going to get cold anymore. Well, that'd be pretty stupid. And so, again, there's laws that you don't really argue with. You get your mittens out at a certain time of the year and check to make sure you got your hat and your coat and all those sort of things. And unless you're a fool, you don't go out in the middle of winter without a coat on. Well, there's some that do. another thing is, your car. Now, sometimes ladies have a problem realizing that an internal combustion engine actually needs gas in it. But they do. And it's ridiculous for you to sit in a crank on a starter and burn a starter out if you don't have any gas in the car. There's also a friction issue, and it would be pretty stupid if you just woke up one morning and said, you know what, I am not going to change the oil in my car at all, because I'm tired of it. And, friction can just take a leap. Well, friction ain't going to take a leap, and you're going to have to work your way around the laws of friction if you're going to drive a car around, no matter what you do, right? Now, I say all that just to say there's a lot of things in life like that, and we readily yield to those things. We build our lives around having to make certain concessions to certain things and so on and so forth. And at the same time, there are spiritual laws that are just as unbendable and indisputable as gravity or friction or any of the other things that I mentioned. They're a little more subtle sometimes, I'll admit to you, but they're no less grounded in stone, graven in stone, than what I've already mentioned. One of the things is that folks often do, though, is that while they would never do anything really nonsensical to defy gravity, they do try to do things to defy certain spiritual laws. I mean, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But folks readily dally with sin because sometimes death by sin is a little more subtle and a little slower than, say, gravity would be. Right? The Bible says that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's sowing and reaping. That's a spiritual law. It's every bit as much engraven in stone as the coefficients of friction or anything else. And yet it's more subtle, so sometimes folks miss it. Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore are the hearts of the sons of men fully set in them to do evil. There's things like that, but there's one thing in particular that I'd like to mention here tonight. And that principle, that spiritual law, is established, perhaps not established, perhaps only mentioned in Psalm 127:1. And I'll rephrase it another way in a second, but it says there, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Now that doesn't mean that a guy shouldn't labor to build. It just means that God has to bless the laborer, right? It doesn't say that the watchman shouldn't watch the city. It just says that the watchman waketh but in vain if the Lord doesn't watch the city. So let's establish something here for this thing we're going to talk about tonight. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. That is a spiritual law. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It really, really do. The results of ignoring it littered about us in a lot of the lives of our friends, high school classmates, childhood friends, sometimes mothers and fathers, sometimes brothers and sisters, certainly your co-workers. You see the result of people not recognizing that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing all around you. It's like one day, you know, people just wake up and 3/4 of the people, imagine what it'd be like if one morning 3/4 of the people that you know, maybe more, woke up and decided, you know what, gravity no longer applies to me. And proceed through the rest of life like that. Needless to say, the rest of life wouldn't be very long. Right? Suppose, you know, you're, you know, 3/4 of the people you know woke up one morning and said, you know what, I don't care what it does when winter comes. I'm not going to honor winter. It's just going to be summer for me all the time. Well, somebody's going to cart somebody away and put them in a rubber room, feed them under the door. Right? So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the fact of the matter is that a lot of people, even Christians sometimes, live their lives as if, you know, what, you know, the equivalent of disobeying gravity, because this matter of everything dependent on the Lord's blessing is every much as real and every much as settled in stone, graven in iron, as that law, and folks live as if the law didn't exist. So I want to talk to you for a little while tonight about everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. In Proverbs 10, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And everything, folks, does depend upon the Lord's blessing. Most important thing that a young person can learn, perhaps, is that he or she needs to make decisions that God can bless. Because if you don't make decisions God can bless, then God's not going to bless them, and you are busy laying a foundation of misery that will extend well into life and maybe even past life to your kids. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, and it says there, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. I want to talk to you about this out of 4 or 5 things. Just let me, first of all, point it out as a fact. Just look at the fact of it. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Now, you know, whether or not somebody acknowledges it or not, don't really care. It is a fact. It is as irrefutable as the phases of the moon as Niagara Falls. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It's not open to discussion. God didn't ask anybody. Nobody voted. He didn't establish a congressional advisory committee to investigate. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Your marriage depends upon it. Your friendships depend upon it. What you do for work depends upon it. Your prayers depend upon it. What you're trying to do with your life depends upon it. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It's just a fact. God runs things. God blesses things, or He doesn't. He blesses, establishes, multiplies your hopes and your dreams, what you're trying to do, your children, your finances. He either blesses it or He doesn't bless it. It's always been that way. It always will be. We're the creature. He's the creator. And He blesses us or He doesn't. Or He doesn't. And guess what? We can't take Him to court if He doesn't. You owe us this. It's our right. Our right to be blessed. We'll take you to court if you don't bless us. Who's going to do that? Right? And furthermore, you can't just change blessers. Because there's not another blesser. Right? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. That is a fact. Our welfare, again, our children, our finances, our friendships, our marriages, our hopes, our dreams, our church, what we're trying to do, what Brother Steve's trying to do, what Brother Dave's trying to do, what Brother Grissom's trying to do, what these young people are trying to do, all those things depend upon the Lord's blessing, and it doesn't depend upon the government. Important to remember in this day and age that what you're trying to do with your life depends on God, not the government, and not the president, and not who is in charge of whatever political party you belong to. It doesn't really involve your insurance policy. It doesn't really truly involve, you know, any advance in medicine as such. What you need is God's blessing on something. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Here is Cain and Abel. And Abel makes a sacrifice, and the Lord blesses it. And Cain makes a sacrifice, and God doesn't bless it. And God expects Cain to change. And Cain expects God to change. Guess who had to change? Or else? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. In Numbers 14, Moses says to those spies, you go into the land. In fact, he said to the people, you go into the land. Go up from Kadesh Barnea. Go and take the land. Oh, we have a better idea. We're going to send spies. Help yourself. I have no question in my mind that if those people had gone from Kadesh Barnea at the first word from the Lord, that they would have been in the land 40 years earlier. I have no question in my mind. But they sent in spies. 10 spies came back and said, oh, no, we can't go in, can't go in, can't go in. And a whole bunch of stuff happened. A whole bunch of people died over the next 24 hours. And the next morning, everybody gets up and goes back to the top of the hill and says, okay, you convinced us. We're going to go into the land now. He says, oh, no, you're not going into the land now. If you go into the land now, 24 hours after you should have, well, after the spies got back, you should have gone several days ago. If you try to go now, the Lord will not be with you. And they tried to go, and the Lord wasn't with them. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Those children of Israel marched around the walls around Jericho, and after they had marched around several times, they shouted and the walls fell. And you know, it was not because of the ingenuity of the plan. You can't come up with any naturalistic explanation of why those walls fell. The walls fell because God blessed their efforts and because they did what He said. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. First time folks tried to go up to Ai, they had a little problem. They had sin in the camp. They had a fellow named Achan who had taken of the accursed thing. And they went up to try to go to war, and they got their rear ends handed to them. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. See, Lot took the best of the land, thinking, Uncle Abraham offered, I get my choice, I choose that. But you know what? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, because after Lot went off down the hill, clicking his heels, thinking that he had really made the buy of a lifetime, The Lord says, guess what, Abraham? It's all yours anyway. I'm not honoring what Lot got. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. You know, Moses stands in Egypt. And Moses, without the Lord's blessing, cannot convince two Israelites to quit fighting. And they wind up telling on him, and he has to run to Egypt. With the Lord's blessing, he goes to Egypt, takes on Pharaoh head to head, and delivers 2.5 million people into the wilderness and ultimately into the land of Palestine. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. How many men in Moses' day must have had a staff, must have had a rod, that once in a while they'd take up and lift over their head for one reason or another? But it was only when the Lord blessed Moses' rod, when Moses raised his rod over his head, that anything happened. Because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It's a fact. Simon Peter and his professional fisherman buddies fished all night and caught nothing. And then the Lord said, you cast your nets over that side. And when they cast one, they caught more than the net could hold. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Why were not Nadab and Abihu blessed for the fire that they built? Because it wasn't according to what God had said. Why did God bypass 7 fine young men of Jesse's sons to be king? Because he hadn't blessed them. He blessed David. Why was it Aaron's rod that budded, rather than any of the rest of those priests? Because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It's a fact. You can't get around it. And it'd be a sad thing if you lived to be 70 years old before you learned that everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It'd be a sad thing if you grew up in this church, but you had to learn the hard way and you didn't learn it till you were 35 years old. That'd be a tragedy. Because you would have wasted the better part of half your life not knowing, not practicing what you should have known. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. It would be a fatal decision to say, well, you know, these things were back in Bible days. Folks, these are Bible days. Your marriages need as much of God's blessing today as anybody's marriage needed in 1500 B.C. or 1500 A.D., your children need God's blessing on what they're trying to do just as much as anybody in any age. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. The reason that some folks' religion doesn't work is because God won't bless it. Because it's not according to His Word. You can go pretty much, you know, take Bible-believing Christianity and you can set it up, you know, fraudulently, step by step, so that it kind of looks like Christianity. I mean, Catholicism kind of did that. There are several forms of Protestantism that kind of did that. And it looks pretty good. Somebody standing on the outside of the Mormon church says, ah, yeah, it's Christian. Somebody standing outside of the JW church says, oh, yeah, they're Christians. But they're not. But they're not. Because God didn't bless what they say is true. He didn't bless that's not the truth, and He won't bless a lie. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Well, there's something else that I'd like to point out to you. I pointed out the fact. Let me point out for a minute the futility. Most of us had a stretch in our lives. Some of you, before you were saved. In my case, I was saved and then still had kind of a long fallow stretch where I was trying to do things my way. Do you remember the days when you were spinning your wheels? You remember the days when you were spitting into the wind? Where everything that you tried to do, it seemed like you got hit in the mouth for? Do you remember the days when you felt like, you know, you were sailing a sinking ship? You remember the days when you were wasting your time? And you now look back and you see that you were wasting your time. You know, Solomon talked about that. The Bible calls that vanity. The Bible says, you know, a guy goes out and does stuff, but God doesn't bless it. And so it's all a waste. It's all just putting in time and burning a candle for nothing. Wasting energy and wasting years, wasting strength, all for nothing. It's all for nothing. You know why? Because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. I, like Calvin and Hobbes, Joseph now liked Calvin and Hobbes, but I always did like Calvin and Hobbes. You know, the little blonde kid with the tiger that was really a stuffed toy, but when it was just he and Calvin, he was a live tiger. Well, one time Calvin comes out of his bedroom and walks by his tiger, and he's got feathers glued to his arms, and he's headed for the roof to fly. And he comes back in, plainly bruised and broken, and he looks at his tiger, and he says, "Knock that stupid grin off your face." Well, you know what, sometimes folks, that's kind of how people are living life, and they don't realize it, because what they're doing is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And what a man does down here seems to make sense to him and to his wife, and maybe his kids and maybe other men, but to God, it's just stupid, because it won't work. And a real good reason that a lot of it won't work is because everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. There's no sense in you burning out a starter if you have no gas in the car. It's never going to start without gas in the car. Right? And it's the same thing. You know, it's crazy to burn yourself out in life and expend all your energy and ruin your health if you're not seeking God's blessing His way. Because, folks, there is futility in that. Most of your lost friends live futile lives. F-U-T-I-L-E, futile. They're futile. They're without Christ, without hope, without God in the world, without excuse at judgment, and their lives are futile. Their lives are vain. Sometimes there's an illusion of success. Jacob, in some ways, had an illusion of success. Jacob was the master finagler. Jacob was the master finagler. He always had a plan. You know, he had a plan with Esau. And then he had a plan about how to, you know, once he got the wives of Laban's daughters, he had a plan for a breeding program that managed to, you know, outdo Laban's breeding program. And, you know, it was one plan after another, wasn't it? But, you know, in the end, you know, he winds up messed up. He winds up with four wives where he only wanted one, right? Winds up with one kid defiling one of the other wives. Winds up with a daughter that winds up being defiled by the men of the land. Then two of the boys go in and take vengeance when they ought not. Winds up with another son that he thinks is dead, but is actually sold off by his brethren into Egypt because they were hated. And, you know, in the end, you know, Jacob's lot was not a bed of roses. And an awful lot of it had to do with the fact that Jacob sought to do it his own way, by his own power and his own wisdom, instead of seeking the blessing of God. Sometimes, you know, there is an illusion in people's lives that things are well, but just an illusion does not make somebody blessed. You know, here's a guy in Luke chapter 12, and his crops are, you know, busting out at the seams. He says, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And the more barns I build, the more I'll sell, and I'll get my investment back. And I will be I can say to my soul, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and so on and so forth for many years to come. And that was a really good plan. The problem is the Lord didn't bless it. He said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Look, folks, I don't care what your plans are. If God doesn't cooperate, they're not going anywhere, right? Here is Babel. Man, Babel was a good plan. I mean, Nimrod must have been quite a guy, because he got them people together and they were unified. I mean, they had a vision. And they had pooled their resources and they had all the resources to build not only this tower, they were building a city with the tower. And it was a big deal. It was going to be a good thing. The only problem was God would not bless it. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. And if God doesn't bless it, it's futile. Here's a woman who for 12 years had had suffered many things, it said, and had suffered many things by many doctors, and was none the better, and had spent all of her money, and it was all a futile exercise. and one touch fixed it. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Here is Naaman the Syrian, and he almost followed the path of his futility for the rest of his life, because he almost walked away from the waters of Jordan without baptizing himself 7 times. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Those 400 prophets of Baal were sincere. They did everything that they could. If there was a Baal in heaven, surely he would have been moved. Because they wailed and cried and sang and went through their rain dance and their fire dance, and they cut themselves after their manner with lancets and so on and so forth. They were a bloody mess by the time it was all over. They were sincere. They were exhausted. But Baal was unable to deliver fire from heaven because there is no Baal. And God wasn't about to send fire from heaven for those dudes. You see, everything, folks, depends upon the Lord's blessing. Lot tried to raise a family in Sodom, and God ain't blessing that. Not with Abraham, who chose the wilderness and was willing to stay in the wilderness to raise that family. You know, you make a real mess trying to find an alternative to God's blessing. And a lot of people try to do that. I'm thinking about Saul here. And the Lord's blessing had departed from Saul. God wasn't talking to Saul anymore. But Saul went to a witch in Endor to get information and was not helped. David made himself quite a mess and thought that he could engineer his way out of it. And so Bathsheba and Uriah and that whole mess. And boy, was it a mess. You know, you really get in a mess trying to seek a substitute for God's blessing. See, God wouldn't listen to Balak, the king of Moab. So Balak turned to Balaam. And then God wouldn't listen to Balaam, the false prophet. And so Balaam turned to deceitfulness and taught Balak, the king of the Moabites, how to get God mad at Israel so God would judge them. See, folks, everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, and you wind up making a gigantic mess by seeking a substitute. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't get God to talk to him, so he turned to his magicians and to his sorcerers. Moses, early in his career, could not get God to move at the appropriate time, so he lost his temper and decided he would push the envelope and kill somebody, and he lost 40 years of his life. It doesn't pay to seek a substitute for God's blessing. Solomon, in spite of the fact that he had the wisdom that he had, apparently decided that it was in his best political interests to woo the princesses of the nations around about. And by the time it's all over with, apparently for political purposes, he wound up with 1,000 wives and concubines. Instead of doing it God's way. That just goes to show you that wise men are not always wise. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, folks, you need to make decisions and do things that God can bless. If I could give you, one sentence of advice to remember, is next time you're faced with a decision, you need to make a decision that you figure that God can bless, as opposed to, a decision that you just want to do or that you're just seeking permission to do under any circumstance. Try to make a decision that God can bless. All right, there's something else that we've talked about, the fact of it. We've talked about the futility of it. Let me talk to you for a second about the attainment. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. That's a fact. And you're living a life of futility if that's not what you're seeking. So how do you attain it? Well, I wasn't a carpenter for too awful long. I've dallied with it, piddled with it since I've been in the ministry, of course, a little, here and there. I worked as a carpenter for 3 years in Pensacola. When they told me that I got the job as a carpenter, they didn't tell me that I was going to be attached to a shovel for about the first 6 months that I worked there. Because for whatever reason, the company that I worked with, the carpenters not only did the hammering and the nailing, they did the digging too. And at the time that I got the job, what the company was doing for the most part was building, seemed like they just had several contracts for warehouses, storage warehouses, and so on and so forth, shipping warehouses and stuff. So we were, I did nothing but dig footers and pour concrete for, I don't know, it seemed like first year and a half that I was in school. And so we would go in and, if a warehouse is 100 yards long and 35 or 40 yards wide, and you're building a, you're pouring a footer, around the perimeter of that thing, that's a lot of shovels full of stuff. And, one of the things, I don't know, maybe it was just for this sermon, I don't know, but I learned a fundamental rule of construction. You don't build a house on the sand. And what you do is you take a footer and you set it down deep and make sure that it's right, and then you build your whatever your building is on top of that footer. Well, that's pretty obvious. And I tell you what's pretty obvious, too. If you want the Lord's blessing, you're going to have a foundation that he can build on. Other foundation can no man lay, but that is laid. It's Christ Jesus, right? I know that you know that. But the reason that folks' religion is not blessed, many times, frankly, the reason their marriages are not blessed, sometimes the reason that things happen, and I'm not saying that you won't have trials along the way, the blessings of God, I'm not saying that. I'm not presenting this as an answer to everybody's problems. I am just telling you that you need the Lord's blessing. And the reason that nations fall, the reason that men lose their souls, the reason that men lose their shirts financially, quite often is the fact that they are off the foundation and God's not going to bless somebody that stays off the foundation. You know, in the end, Abel's sacrifice was accepted. He was on the foundation. He did what God said. Cain's offering was not accepted. He was off the foundation, and he refused to be corrected. Jericho fell because Israel did what God said and went around the city the number of times that God said and shouted when God said shout, and the walls of Jericho came tumbling down because Israel was on the foundation. Most all of Abraham's moves were moves that God blessed to the extent that he was a man known as the friend of God. Abraham was on the foundation. It was Aaron's rod that budded, not any of the rest of those priests and that little rebellious upheaval that they had. The reason was that Aaron was on the foundation. David was the anointed one. He was on the foundation. Those 400 prophets of Baal were way, way off the foundation. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, and you need to get on the foundation to get the Lord's blessing. You've got to do what God said do. Here is Ai. And the first time they went to Ai, it was a disaster. They were off the foundation. The next time they went to Ai, they whooped them good. They were on the foundation. Esau, the Lord said, I have hated Esau. Esau was off the foundation. Moses failed to inspire his brethren on his own to follow him out of Egypt. Instead, he had to flee from Egypt. He was off the foundation. And that went back in at God's behest, did what God said God's way in God's time. And he led Israel out of Egypt. He was on the foundation. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were off the foundation. Nadab and Abihu were off the foundation. The prodigal son left home off the foundation, came back home repentant, and got back on the foundation. Those disciples, Jesus Christ said, go down there. You're going to find an ass tied outside of a certain building. Just go ahead and take him. And if the guy says anything to you, just tell him that I have need of him. Those two disciples are walking along saying, did I just understand right that we're going to go into this town? And when we see two donkeys standing outside of a building, we grab them and take them. And if the guy says anything, we just say that the Lord said he has need of them. Did I hear that right? He said, that's what I heard. And that's what happened. You know, another time, they're trying to get ready for the Last Supper. He says, okay, you boys, you guys go into town and follow, you'll find a certain fella carrying a water pot on his head, and you follow him for a while, and when he turns in somewhere, go in there and tell the guy in there that I have need of a room for us to have to make preparation for the Passover supper. And so I keep thinking in my head, how many people are carrying around water pots in Jerusalem? And at just a certain juncture, these two guys come down the street and they fall in behind a guy with a water pot. They follow that guy for a few blocks down a couple of alleys, and he finally turns into some spot. And they go into that spot, and the guy says, what do you want? They say, well, we want a room for the preparation of the feast. He says, okay, I have one for you. I mean, come on, folks. That's kind of wild, don't you think? See, everything depends upon the Lord's blessing, though. You need that kind of stuff to happen in your life. Now, once in a while, most of us have had things happen in our lives that are inexplicable, a sequence of events that fall together, you know, where things couldn't have been, you know, engineered by man or whatever. You need that kind of stuff. I know you need that stuff all the time. You won't always be aware of it, but you need that kind of stuff in your life. Well, I'm telling you that kind of stuff depends upon God, because you surely don't want the devil engineering that thing for you. Right? Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. That Ethiopian eunuch is sitting out in that chariot reading his Bible, and God sends him an apostle to talk to him and baptize him. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. I want to talk to you next. I've talked to you about the fact, the futility and the attainment. Let me talk to you for just a second about the reward. I don't know how conscious you are of these things. I don't know what you pray about when you get up in the morning. It'd be good to pray about some things like this. You know, we always pray, you know, God, give me wisdom for the day. You know, God, help this and help that and help me here. And after saying that, you pretty much go on about your business and kind of unconscious of how, whether, you kind of forget even what you prayed. I mean, really, do you remember what you prayed Friday morning specifically? Well, I was thinking about this a little bit, and, you know, one of the things to think about, praying about, is you asking God to help you make decisions. And when you make that decision, hold that decision in heart and in mind and ask God and beg God to bless that decision, to do something supernatural around that decision and bless you for making it. Because, you know, President Obama has proven he ain't going to do what he said he was going to do. He's not going to pay your mortgage like he said he was going to do. It seems that he is not quite the messianic figure that he was presented to us by a sycophant news media. I'll tell you, the only person that can do that is God. And you need that. I'll tell you what the reward will be. The reward will be, and I can't predict when it all happens, and I'm like most of you. There's some of you that I've been praying for some victories and some things for a long time. And I know it seems long in coming, and I don't have any answers with regard to that. All I can say is that with regard to what I'm talking about tonight, eventually what will happen is that when there is a lion to be slain, or a bear to be slain, or a giant to be slain, God will bless the effort. The reward of everything depending upon the Lord's blessing and you doing what God said do is that there will be grace and power for you to get done what needs to get done, and God bless it. When there's a million Ethiopians that march against you, as in King Asa's day, King Asa prayed and said, God, our trust is in Thee. And God defeated a million Ethiopians for King Asa. Hezekiah was faced with a siege and was outnumbered and basically powerless. And God killed 185,000 Assyrians in one night and blessed
Hezekiah's prayer. That's what you need. There'll be a day when you'll face some of the prophets of Baal, like Elijah had to face the prophets of Baal, and there'll be victory. You don't lose your family in Sodom, because God blessed that family. You wind up paying your bills without being able to explain how your bills get paid, because God blessed decisions that you made, and labor that you labored over, and prayers that you prayed, asking God to take measures and to intervene and intercede and do something for you that you couldn't do for yourself, because you've proven yourself a sorry engineer. And so you ask God in your weakness to make provision. And He did. And you wind up with your bills paid 1 month, and you say, how does that happen? And your wife, who handles the checkbook, she says, I'm not sure. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. You know, there was a day, the Bible says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, that there was this little city, and that there were few men in it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and put up great bulwarks. But the Bible says, now there was found in that little city a poor wise man, and then it says that he by his wisdom delivered the city. Say, how did he deliver the city? I don't know. I don't know. But I know the Lord blessed his wisdom. That's what you need. That's what you need. You need the Lord to bless decisions that you make. You need the Lord to bless the seed that you've sown. You need to have the Lord bless the time that you've invested in people, in your children, you know, and people you tried to minister to. You need the Lord to bless that time. And, you know, if He doesn't bring it to pass in 3 years or 4 years, like you would have hoped, well, actually, you would have hoped within a week. But, you know, that's His business. But you need the Lord's blessing. One last thing I'd like to say. There's one last admonition. We talked about the fact and the futility. Talked about the attainment and the reward. Let me talk to you about the admonition. In Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. If I were you, I would do what I could to get close to God. I'd seek Him in the Word of God and in prayer, and I'd try to meditate on the things that He said. I'd try to meditate on His principles. And I'd pray to Him and trust Him to take care of things that I'd proven that I was incapable of taking care of myself. And I would, I'd put my faith and my trust in Him, knowing that I need His blessing on everything, that He has to clear my path in things that I don't even see as obstacles. You ever think about that? I mean, how many car accidents has He helped you avoid by some minor delay, some minor swerve somewhere, making a wrong turn here or there and kicking yourself because you're stupid and all that kind of stuff, and an extra long stoplight? You ever think about maybe what the Lord's sparing you from? I got to see a couple of those things, you know, when I was driving full-time. But I tell you what you do. You need the Lord's blessing. Everything depends on it. Everything depends upon the Lord's blessing. Let's have a word of prayer. Well, Father, we come to You here tonight. We pray that You will help us to meditate on these things, help them to be real to us. I'm sure that they were real for Moses for a while. I'm sure that for the men that saw Korah, Dathan, and Abiram go down into the pit alive, for some of the brethren of Joseph, and go down the list, and yet one of the irksome things about the nature of man is that he is just real forgetful and adapts to things. We pray You'd help us not to. We pray here as the age closes out that You'd help us to be ever mindful that our dependence is upon Thee. And whether it be our money, or our kids, or our relationships, or our friends, or our church, or our labor for You, everything absolutely depends on you putting your blessing upon it. So we pray that you'd help us in that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 334. 334. We'll sing the second stanza. Second stanza. Thank you. to see most of you folks at our house tomorrow. See you then. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good day today. And it's time of year most of us enjoy a lot. We pray that you'll give us a good day tomorrow, fellowship, a good time. And Lord, a lot happening. We do ask for your blessing on all that's going on. And we think about St. Cloud, prayed about that a lot. Think about some folks going through some trials here that they need some relief and help and answers for. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.